The gospel comes today from the first chapter of Luke, beginning with the 46th verse. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, here we are in the final week of our love story. Usually when we're watching love stories on TV or the movies, there's tragedy involved, unless it's on the Hallmark Channel. And I'm not a big fan of one of those kissy, huggy movies anyway, where everything turns out to be wine and roses. Well, this story has some tragedy, and it does have some wine and roses to it. There are themes of emptiness, famine, and drama on the threshing floor, as well as a foreigner, an outsider, and someone who doesn't belong. However, the difference between a Hallmark Channel love story and the Book of Ruth is not only fiction versus nonfiction, but also the acknowledgement and realization that God's hand is continually present and active in ways that are not always bolts of lightning or parting of seas, but in the little things that occur in our daily life. As we know from last week, Ruth got herself all prettied up, snuck upon the threshing floor where it's all men, waited for Boaz to finish eating and drinking, and then basically offered herself to him by sleeping at his feet. And she did this simply because Naomi told her to. Ruth's devotion to Naomi was so strong, and her trust that Naomi would never have her do anything harmful or disparaging of her name, Ruth did everything Naomi said without question. Ruth developed a reputation, a good and honorable one. Even though Ruth had been bringing home grains from the harvest every day for Naomi to eat, the fact is that they were both still childless widows, which means they were both at the bottom rung of society. And now the harvest was over. They had no power, no property, no standing, and were vulnerable to others who might want to do them harm. Naomi had no legal ability to redeem her dead husband's property or lineage, so she had to find Ruth a husband who could redeem them both. Now it's up to Boaz to be the honorable man and do the right thing by Ruth. Over the course of time of seeing Ruth working hard in the fields and not out chasing men, and knowing that she was an honorable woman and physically attractive, Boaz wanted to marry her. But by law, he was not the closest of kin to Naomi and could not redeem Elimelech's property or Ruth. There was another. So Boaz meets the closer kinsman at the gate to the town of Bethlehem, which is equivalent to the town square in today's language, to see if the other relative wanted to claim Elimelech's property. Notice the approach that Boaz makes. Although he is primarily interested in Ruth, he doesn't even mention her at first. Boaz is calling the property to the other person's attention to see if they will be the redeemer of the property. I see this as part of Boaz's plan all along. He waited to see if the property would be redeemed, and when the relative said yes, then Boaz says, Wait. By the way, here is this foreigner, Ruth the Moabite, who's part of the deal. You redeem the property, you also have to marry her. And that's when the other relative backs off and says, whoa, wait a minute. I didn't know there was a foreign woman involved in this and that I would have to marry her. That'll mess up everything for my current wife and children. If you want the property in Ruth Boaz, go ahead and take it. The Hebrew law specifically states in Deuteronomy 23:3, an Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the assembly of the Lord. It would mean that if this relative brought Ruth into the assembly of the Lord, it would jeopardize his own property. But Boaz doesn't care. He loves Ruth and is willing to make whatever sacrifice is involved. He wants to be her kinsman redeemer. What is a kinsman redeemer? In Hebrew tradition, it is a male relative who has the responsibility to help other relatives who are in need or in danger. Boaz will do whatever it takes to redeem both Ruth and Naomi. And what does it mean to redeem? The word means buying or acquiring, usually in terms of payments to slaves, which results in their freedom. In this situation, Boaz can easily be compared to Christ. Out of love, Boaz makes sacrifices for the redemption of others. Christ is our kinsman redeemer. We are redeemed and brought fully into relationship with God through his incarnation, his life among us, and his suffering and death on the cross. In this way, God paid the price for our freedom, and we are no longer in the hands of slavery to sin or in the Old Testament law. Now we live under the grace of Christ, who left us the Holy Spirit to comfort us. So now that Boaz has cleared all the hurdles and received the community's blessings, he marries Ruth and she conceives a son. Here comes the wine and roses, right? Where there was barrenness, there is now new life. Where there was famine, there is now a plentiful harvest. Where there was bitterness, there is now joy. Naomi's life is full again. She has family, she has a grandson, and she has a blessing of all of God just overflowing. So her eyes are opened, and it is when she begins to recognize the loving kindness of God in the loving kindness of those around her that she moves from being Mara, which means bitter, back to being Naomi, which means pleasant. Even when she was Mara and was filled with bitterness, there beside her was Ruth, her daughter-in-law, which was more loving and caring to her than seven sons. Ruth, whose love and loyalty for her mother-in-law transcended boundaries of nation and custom. Beside her was Ruth, the embodiment of God's faithful love for her, even when Naomi did not yet have eyes to see it. But the women of Bethlehem did, and they named it. This child shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. In the end, it is not barley or wheat, but love that fills Naomi's emptiness and love that did so from the beginning. The gift of sacrificial love by a kinsman redeemer, the love and devotion between two women redeems this story and redeems its actors in this play. God's work at hand through expressions of kindness, loyalty, and unwavering devotion and trust. A story where God works through the faithfulness of ordinary human beings and fulfills God's purpose of spreading love and mercy. The Holy Spirit today works in mysterious ways and in everyday events, and that is to give and receive both mercy, love, and grace. God, who slips in unnoticed and prepares a way to fulfill our deepest longings, our endless journeys, and our most intimate of human embraces. God, who never denies us, never rejects us, never suppresses our human emotion or our needs or despair. God who comes in the depth of human living and human relationships, comes in a friendship stronger than despair and emptiness. Like the women surrounding Naomi, we are called to name what others in their distress or distraction cannot always see for themselves. God's hesed, the Hebrew word for eternal and limitless faithful love. Always at the heart of hesed lies God's generous sense of compassion, grace, and mercy. And we are called to share this hesed with the world in our everyday actions and speech through simple acts of courage, mercy, forgiveness, and love for one another. Thanks be to God that chooses even the lowliest, the least likely, and the flawed to be messengers of God's love to the world. Let us pray. God of love, help us to see and share your abundant blessings with others. May we always be mindful of everything you have bestowed on us and keep us forever in your loving embrace. Amen.